And the rest of us, you don't get any flannel graph or anything, but we're going to engage and begin to walk through chapter 3 this week. And if you have not been here for the last couple of weeks, what we've been doing is we have been walking through a small book of the Bible, one that is very well known. But oftentimes, just because we hear of it a lot, maybe in Sunday school or whatever, we don't always spend the time kind of digging into it. And the book is Jonah. And so as we've been going along, we're now find ourselves in chapter 3 of Jonah. We've been working through it chapter by chapter, and next week we'll be on chapter 4. But before we kind of begin and dig into chapter 3, we're going to take a quick look to see what brought us to this point. The word of the Lord had come to Jonah to bring a message of repentance to these evil Assyrian people, the Ninevites. And Jonah, as we remember, so hated this group of people, so despised them, that when the word of the Lord had come to Jonah to go and speak this message, Jonah flatly refuses. And he boards a ship going the opposite direction of God's leading, which earned him the title throughout history as God's reluctant prophet, even though his name actually means dove or peaceful one. As we have mentioned the last couple of weeks, that God had sent a great storm that would threaten the very lives of the sailors that Jonah was sailing with. And the storm would not relent until Jonah's traveling buddies did the unthinkable and they threw him overboard, at which time God had sent a great fish. And notice, this is one of the things I've always find kind of interesting, is that nature, I mean, I know that we're part of God's creation, but nature never rebels against its creator. The fish did not say to God, you know, I'm not really going that way. People aren't really part of my diet. Might make my stomach a little upset. Nature never does that. It just bows to the will of God and does what God calls it to do. And so nature, when God says something, it is always obedient to its creator. And so God sends this fish to come and swallow Jonah. And it was there that Jonah cried out to God. It was in this moment of his life, when his life was ebbing away, that he finally surrendered to God's plan. He finally submits his will to God's will. In his moment of distress, in his final moments on this earth, as he surrendered, God plucks him from his demise. And it says in Jonah 2:6, this is what we read this last week, it says, "To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever, but you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God." And now not only does Jonah, he's calling out to God at this point, but remember we also mentioned that last week he kind of turns and speaks to us. And in Jonah chapter 2, verse 8, we remember these words that he spoke to people. Those that cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Or as we talked last week, the hasad that could be theirs, that pursuing love of God. And when we are clinging to idols, we cannot simultaneously embrace God's pursuing love. And after 3 days in the belly of this whale, Jonah, he's taken to the shore, and he's vomited up onto the shore. That's a lovely picture, isn't it, of Jonah just being spit up onto the shore. Jonah had probably never been so glad to see dry land as he had at that moment. And it is here that we begin our journey through chapter 3 of this story. And once again, we're going to read the whole chapter together. It's only 10 verses, though, so not very long. So here we are, Jonah chapter 3. You'll find the book of Jonah between Obadiah and Micah. And Jonah 3, beginning in verse 1, reading to verse 10. "When the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let him give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. Let's pray. God, this morning we just come to you, and once again, as we come each week, we thank you for your word to us. And Lord, this morning, my prayer is that as your word goes out, Lord Jesus, I pray that the seed of your word would find soil that's ready to receive it. And Lord Jesus, as it finds its way into our hearts and into this soil that's ready to receive it, that because it's ready, it'll bear much fruit in our lives. And so God, I pray that as a result of your word in our lives, that there would be much fruit that would go far beyond these four walls here that we sit. So Lord Jesus, we want to hear what you have to say to us, and we want to allow it to do a deep work in our lives. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we begin looking at Jonah right at the very beginning in verse 1. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Now, this is a big deal. I know at first glance it doesn't look like it. Sort of seems like God might be saying, okay, Jonah, let's try this again. And it is. But it's also so much more as you meditate on it and as you look a little deeper. As you look a little deeper, you discover how powerful this little verse is. As we look at the verse, I'd like to draw your attention to the words a second time. The Hebrew word here is sheni, and it does mean a second time. It also kind of means again. And the word of the Lord, it would be very right to say, the word of the Lord came to Jonah again. It came again to the one who did not in any way deserve a second chance. The one who refused to heed God's word the first time in chapter 1 that it came. The one who not only refused to heed, but also rebelled against God and ran the other way. And at first as I read this first verse, I thought, oh God, you're so good. You gave Jonah another chance to get it right. I thought, God, you are the God of the second chance. And in a way, yes, he is. But in a whole other way, there is so much more. When I was in Bible school, I found there was a certain girl that kind of caught my eye. And that girl, just so you know, is now my wife. Just so you don't think I was chasing after all these women. It wasn't like that at all. I was praying, reading my Bible, and looking at only one woman. that girl, that wasn't an evil laugh, like, ah. No. Okay, anyway, let's get back on course, guys. You're distracting me here. Okay, but so I had this one girl, she caught my eye. She was fun, she was caring, and she seemed to really enjoy life. And when a girl catches your eye, you start to try to figure out ways to connect with her. You set your plans in motion. Or as I tease my wife, I started laying the trap for her. And there's a little side note. I read once that in marriage, guys view marriage as a finish line, and girls view it as the starting line. And so girls, when they're looking at marriage, they think, oh, I get to be with this guy. He's so caring and wonderful for the rest of my life, and we get to start our life together, and this is wonderful. And guys are like, whew, I caught her. That's awesome. Now I can just say, anyway. So I was laying my trap for setting my plans in motion. And so you bump into this girl by accident, and you make up things to go get at the grocery store to try to get her to go on a walk with you without her actually knowing that she might like you. And you need to be quite sneaky about this. So you ask what seem to be random questions about life, but rest assured they're calculated. You ask them to see if you can gather any type of information that might help your cause, things that might help you to ascertain how she might feel about you or about relationships in general. And if you find out through the right questioning that she wants to be single for the rest of her life, well, then you know you may want to drop this pursuit. And one of the reasons you set out to discover all this information is to see whether you should pursue this girl or not. Might she be interested in you too or not? Because rare is the guy who just sort of comes out and says, yeah, I like you. You like me? Let's get together and date. We don't do that. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but sometimes guys have a hard time being vulnerable. So before we risk, we make sure the risk is calculated. It's a calculated risk. Because if she had said to me, you know, you're a nice guy and all, but I don't really like you like that, I would have been like going, ugh, stab me. And I would have been rejected and hurt, and it just would have been awful. I'd run to my room, my dorm room, crying and hurt, I don't know. But I would have been hurt. And number two, because she didn't want to be pursued. And this is one of the things that I really love about God. Even though that we can say no to him, even though we can say, God, leave me alone, we can reject him, he comes back. He comes again. He comes Shaney, as we saw in the verse 1. I mean, think about it. How many times did you reject God before you gave him your life? I know some of your testimonies I have heard that you know, you had been sitting there and maybe in a service and you heard what God had said and you knew God was talking to you, but you kind of just pushed it away. And then later you maybe were talking with a friend at a coffee shop and you knew God was speaking to you, but you just kind of pushed it away. And somebody else at another moment you heard and you kind of just pushed it away. And God continued to pursue you. God came Shaney. God came again and again. And even as followers, God continues to pursue us. We talked a bit about last week about the chesed of God, the pursuing love of God. To some, he has spoken words to you, things that you know you need to be dealt with in your life maybe. And God may even speak with you today about something. And you know in your heart he has spoken. There's something in there. You know, like you know when you know something is, God has spoken to you. And the word of the Lord may come to you, Shaney, again. Maybe God has been speaking to you about something over a long period of time. And he's coming again today, a second time, or a third time, or a fifth time. And just like that, God came to Jonah that way. Jonah ran from God, but God ran after Jonah. And what was Jonah's reaction this time? What would your reaction have been? Well, probably after being spit up by a whale onto the land, I would have said, yes, Lord, whatever you want to do. God, he comes to Jonah and he says this to him. He says, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. The word go is actually two words. In some translations, you'll see arise and go. Cum is the first one, like zoom, and halak. And together they mean get your butt moving. Go now. There is an urgency in these words. One of the dictionaries that I read said it, the idea of this was to go now. However you get there is completely irrelevant. Just get there. Do it now. And I think that there's some little lesson in there that we see. Whenever God comes to us as Shaney, whenever God comes to us again, a second time, you cum halak. You go now. You don't wait around. You don't sit on it. Go. Because you may end up talking yourself out of it, which is probably why we didn't do it in the first place. And so we go. And if God is speaking to you about something, maybe over this last little while, and he has come again. And the word of the Lord has come to you again. Go now. Cum halak. Go now. Wait till the message is over, and then cum halak. Go. Some of you today are going to need to do that. Some of you are going to need to go and make something right with another person. Some of you, God's been speaking to you about reaching out to an individual, and you've been putting it off. You've been too busy. You don't really like them, whatever. I think God would say, go now. Begin, make arrangements. Start doing this, what I have called you to do. And maybe you're at a place where you've never received God's love, but you've heard about it a lot. And God might be coming to you again. Maybe even this morning he would come to you again. I would say grab hold of that. Grab hold of that. Kum halak. Don't wait any longer to respond to God's call, to God's love, to God's offer of salvation to you. God continues to say, he says, go to the great city of Nineveh. Now why did God call them great when they were so bad? Well, there were a great city in size. Some readers say that they could have been there could have been up to three sections of this city. Kind of like if you were living in Burnaby and someone you called someone from back home and they said, oh, where are you living now? You could very accurately say, I think Vancouver. I'm living in Vancouver, even though you're not. And so there could have been up to these three different sort of cities. But whatever the case, Nineveh was a big city. Nineveh proper, I have read, would have been about 120,000 people. And the walls would have been about 7.5 miles long. But more than just size, it was great in its influence. It was an epicenter of culture in its day. It was a prominent city for its time. And God says, Jonah, go now. Don't delay. Go to these people. Yeah, the people that you dislike, those enemies of yours, go to them. Go to them and tell them the words that I'm going to tell you to speak. And so in verse 3, Jonah, he does it. He says, verse 3, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. So off he goes. Jonah's off. He's trekking off in verse 3 on his way to Nineveh. And we hit in verse 4. It says, Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city. Now that sounds good, doesn't it? It feels like, Jonah, you're getting things going here. But to just read it like that, I think we miss an important element for Jonah. And it's sometimes tricky, the tricky part in English. In other languages, as I was talking with somebody last week, I think they were talking to me about Chinese, and it seems to be more word pictures in that language. It's more descriptive. In English, we have to surround words with a lot of other words to properly understand the point. Kind of like if to be a quick example, say you said, a man began to work on his car. Okay. Or we go this way, a man turned and with a tear flowing down his cheek, waved goodbye to his young wife and small baby boy as he began his journey into a war that would change them both forever. Both men began something, but because of the surrounding words, we see that both men were not equal in their effort of their start. And it is here we kind of think, well, off Jonah went. Like he began to fix his car, began into the city of Nineveh. The word here is so much more descriptive. The word here is kalaubo. And very literally, it means to untie. Kind of like God said, go here, and he ran. Say like God said to you, go to Bowen Island. And you run to go to Bowen Island. Yes, Lord, and you're running to Bowen Island. But you get to the dock, and you have to get in a boat, and you have to untie the boat to carry on with your journey. And a lot of times when God says to us or God speaks to us something, and very well here while we're sitting here, maybe God's saying to you something. Maybe God's saying to you, you know, I want you to really share myself, Christ, with that person that you sit with every day on the bus. And when we sit and we're sitting here and we hear the word of the Lord and we say, yeah, okay, I'm going to do it. Here we go. And off we run. And it comes Monday morning. And all of a sudden, Monday morning, what did I say yesterday? What did I do? I said yes to God. And then the bus pulls up to the bus stop. Psh, the door's open. And now you're like, oh. And this is the word began. Because what stopped you before from fulfilling what God called you to stop was that which held you, which tied you, which was that what maybe fear. Or when you go to a person, you feel like God had spoken to you about forgiving somebody. And so you say, yeah, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to forgive them. Thank you, God, for that word. And you walk up, you arrange a meeting, you arrange a time, and you go to that person, and now all of a sudden, it's different. It was one thing in the sermon. It was one thing Sunday morning when we're singing and we're all excited. But then all of a sudden you meet this person face to face, and there's that pain that you still feel. And Jonah, he trekked off because there's a long distance between being spit up on the shore and Nineveh. It's a long journey. It's not like he just got spit up at the front doors of the gates of Nineveh. It was a long journey. And so he's like, yeah, thank you, Lord, I got spit up. Yeah, let's go. Okay, I'm going. But then when he gets to the gates, it's a different thing. Now I'm here. I'm standing at the gates of my enemy. I'm standing at the gates of the people that have ravaged my people for a long time. And I think the word, a lot of times, the word of the Lord can come again to us. And we may say, yes, Lord, and head off. And we can get to a certain distance, and then it stops. We can either get frustrated, discouraged, maybe fear, whatever it is. But because we haven't untied that which held us in the first place, and in Jonah's case, he had to untie himself from his hatred, as we've learned over the last couple of weeks, his hatred, and then go. He had to cast off how he really felt about these people. He had to let go in order for him to begin to go, begin to move in the direction that God was leading him. So while Jonah said in chapter 2, as we read, don't cling on to worthless idols, he makes this statement as he's going down, which then we sort of forfeit the grace of God. He said when you're clinging on to those things in chapter 2, he says that's what we do. And now we see here in chapter 3, he's actually having to do it. And if the word of the Lord has come to you, untie yourself from that which held you before. Don't think about it any longer. Just step out and do it. Untie yourself from that which might hold you from going and doing that which God calls you to do, so you can follow what God has spoken to you. God comes to Jonah again. He tells him to go, and off he goes. And Jonah comes to the gates, and he begins into the thing and unties himself from that which was holding him. And he went in. So Jonah, he's heading off to Nineveh, and he what kind of things do you think are going through his head at this moment as he enters the gates? These are the gates of his enemies, the ones that have, you know, ravaged his country and his people. Maybe he's thinking, is this it? Are these my final days? Maybe he's thinking, will they torture me? Maybe he's thinking, I wonder how God's going to destroy this group. I wonder if it'll be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe he'll bring another country in and destroy them totally. I don't know. But one thing is certain. When Jonah got to Nineveh, he didn't sugarcoat his message. He didn't try and hint around. He didn't try to say a few nice things about them first, you know, like we're supposed to do before we criticize anyone, right? We're supposed to say, maybe we'll go in there and say 10 nice things and then one bad thing. And so, you know, Nineveh, you have a really big city and you really know how to build walls, and that's really good. And you guys, you know, you're really influential. That's great. And man, can you guys wield the sword? But I have a few things I need to address with you. He doesn't do that at all. He just cuts to the chase. He says it straight. And mostly when you read prophetic books in the Bible, there isn't much of a journey seemingly attached to it. It's mostly a set of words that seem poetic, and we don't fully we have difficulty sometimes understanding what they mean. And sometimes it's just because they're set to a particular group of people at a particular time, and we don't fully understand the history, and there's all this stuff going on. But here in this book in Jonah, this prophetical book, there are only 8 prophetical words spoken, 5 in the Hebrew language. That's it. That is all he is recorded as saying. 5 words. It was short, it was direct, and it was offensive. I can imagine him walking into this city. He's walking to the center area for that day. Takes a deep breath and says, well, here goes nothing. 40 more days. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. 40 more days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. Starts calling out, 40 more days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. And this word overthrown kind of seems to have a bit of a double meaning, kind of maybe like the English word bar. You can have a gold bar, you can have a coffee bar, you can have a bar of soap. But it seems like the word overthrown, the word is hapak, and it is the idea of flipping over. Essentially, that there is going to be change here. Your world that you know of now, this world will be changed. Either you will turn to God and repent, in which case change will come, or this city will be destroyed, in which case change will come. But either way, change will come. This place will be flipped. This place will be overthrown. 40 days. You have 40 days, and this place will no longer exist how it looks now. Your life as you know it will no longer exist. 40 days. You can ignore my message or you can heed my message, but either way, change is coming. And listen to me this morning. I don't want to be kind of like a downer or anything, but the reality is that we all have a limited time. We all have a limited time here on earth. We don't have forever on this earth. If there are two things that I know about you is this, even if I've never met you, I know that you were born and I know that you will die. We have a beginning and an ending. And we really don't have any idea how long we have. For some of us, it might be like day one of our 40 days. And we may just beginning, we have our whole life ahead of us, and it's a wonderful thing. For others of us, it may be day 39. We just don't know. But we do know a couple of things. We do know, one, that life does not stay the same. Life as you know it will change. We know that. And the other thing is that we just don't know when the end is coming. But we do know that God gave Nineveh an opportunity to be saved, to change. And they took it. Just like he gave that to the Ninevites, he gives that to us. And we have opportunity to receive it. And today I want to encourage you more than ever, don't wait for the clock to tick down. Don't wait for day 39. Because unlike the Ninevites, we don't know, we have no idea when that's going to be. So take it. It's offered to you today. Take it. Jonah presents this little five-word prophecy, and you know, you wouldn't believe what happens. They turn around. They respond to God's word. Verse 5 says this, "The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the biggest to the least, put on sackcloth." They didn't even believe Jonah. They just says they believed God. And this morning, even as I share about what I say, don't worry about what I say, but listen for what God would say in the midst of us here. They believed God. And for a first-time reader, as he would go over this and see this, well, his thoughts would be, no way. No, Jonah, come on. This couldn't happen. Are you speaking evangelistically here? What's going on? This couldn't have happened. I mean, it's kind of like me coming to you and standing up here and saying to you, you know, I was in Las Vegas last week, and last week I shared five words, and the whole city repented and turned around, and they used their casinos for houses of worship, and they used all their chips to feed the poor and their hotels to house the homeless, and oh, it was a wonderful thing. And you know, as a Christian, you'd want to believe it. But what would be the first thing you would do when you got home? Excuse me. You would turn on the news. You would go to the internet to see if what I actually said was true. Because you would say, no way could this happen. This is way too big. This is way too crazy. No way could Nineveh all turn to God. But they did. They fasted, which was a symbol of their desire to turn and hear from God. They put on sackcloth, which was a goat's hair suit that was itchy and horrible to wear, as if they were to say, we're not even worthy to wear normal clothes. And every time they would move, it would be scratchy and itchy and as a physical reminder of their sin everywhere they went. Verse 6 says, when Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Just for a king to leave his throne as a symbol of his repentance. And for him to take off his royal robes was just over the top. And to put on sackcloth and then sit in the dust. Well, I mean, we don't fully understand what all this meant, but all I can say is wow. Verse 7, this is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. So listen, not only are the people going to fast, but so are the animals. I can't imagine putting my dog on a fast. That'd be horrible. I heard that if 20 head of cattle don't eat for a day, you can hear their noises and their groans up to a half mile away. Imagine being in the middle of the city, animals, kids, adults, fasting, the groans of the animals echoing through the city, everyone wearing sackcloth. He goes in verse 8, he says, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. The king of Nineveh says, you know, guys, we need to call on the Lord urgently here. Let's not wait till day 39. Let's not sort of kill a bunch of people. We've got 39 more days. Let's go. Let's call urgently on God now with all that we are, not just in word, but also in deed. There's a little lesson in here, I think, as well. Our words are part of it. Our words need to come out in our life. I don't think Nineveh could say, yes, Lord, we surrender, and stabbing people on the other side. Give up everything, your evil ways. Surrender, come to the Lord. Nineveh, call on God with all that you are. Verse 9 says, who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger, so that you will not perish, so that we will not perish. You know, it's funny, in chapter 2 of Jonah, we talked about Sheol last week and where that was and kind of what that sort of hell, that sort of underworld sort of place. And Jonah, as he was heading to the grave, he calls out to God from that place where he's heading into this this direction of death, where he's furthest from God. He calls out to him, and God hears him. And then we have this other group of people, these enemies of God, these enemies of God's people, that not only were they just didn't like them, they pursued and killed them, these enemies of God's people, now calling out to God. And God hears them. And in verse 10, it reads this. It says, when God saw what they did, and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented. Another translation says he had compassion on them and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. In verse 1, we see Jonah spit up on the ground, and God comes again. He comes Asheni. He comes again to his servant. And bracketed on the one side of Jonah 3:1 is God's grace to his servant. And bracketed on the other side of Jonah 3:10 at the end is God's grace to his enemies. And I was reading the other day a little bit about this book. I haven't read this book. It was just a quote from it. Some of you may know Richard Dawkins. He's an atheist guy, and he wrote a book called The God Delusion. And in this book, he describes his view of the Old Testament God. And he has this big, long, horrible sentence about God and how horrible he is and how awful he is and how all he wants to do is kill people and destroy people. And it comes at the end as I'm finishing up, working on Jonah chapter 3. I feel like, man, he missed it. He missed it. On one hand, God brings grace to the kind of Billy Graham of his day, the guy who's to bring the message to the Ninevites, his prophet, his great servant. He brings grace on this hand. And then at the end, he to the enemy of God, the one that would kill people, the one that would come and kill God's people, slay them. And remember, we talked about how they would torture them and what the kind of things they did to them. And at the end of Jonah 3:10, God has grace. And you see a bit of God's heart in from the beginning to the end of this chapter. You see the grace of God. You see the beginning, Jonah being given grace and him working a journey of this and working it through. And you see Nineveh hearing the word of God. Just like Jonah heard the word of God, Nineveh hears the word of God and acts on it. And you see, as they both call out from where they're at, God hears them. And as they both call out from where they're at, God bestows lavishly grace on them. And that is his heart for you. I think sometimes we can get this idea that, oh, God's punishing me, or God's calling me to do this, God's making me do this. No, his heart is for you. Right at the very beginning, we see God doesn't let Jonah run away. He pursues him. We see him in Jonah chapter 2, the hasad of God, that word, the pursuing love of God. And he pursues you. And that was his servant. But not only, and we kind of get caught up now in Jonah, and we can say, yeah, he's after Jonah. Jonah's a prophet, I get it. But look, he's after the Ninevites too, and he's taking Jonah to give it to them, to bring them that message. One of my favorite verses is from John chapter 10, verse 10. And it says this. It says that the thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, but I have come that you might have life and life to the full. And I want to say this morning that, as I said, God's heart is for you. And if you have rebelled against God, if you have walked away from God, you have said to God's word in your life, you have said, no, 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 and God keeps coming ashamed to you, keeps coming again, I want to say that God's heart for you is not to rob you of fun, not to rob you of your, it's to give you the life that you were designed and built to live. And it's in that life that you will find the most fulfillment, because all of a sudden, life seems to fit. It doesn't mean that it's easy. It wasn't easy for Jonah to walk into Nineveh, the city of his enemies. But that is what he was called to do at that point. And it fit. It fit with what he was created for and what he was made for. And the best thing and the best place for you to be is to be where God has designed you to be. And that is right in the middle of his will. And I would say to you this morning, if God's coming to you, Shaney, surrender to that. Hear that. Go do what he's called you to do. May it be hard? It might be. But it's the best place for you to be. And if you are maybe like the Ninevites, not saying that you're a slaughtering group of people, but maybe you've never heard the word of the Lord. Maybe God, you haven't heard about what Christ has done for you. Well, I want to tell you something, that Jesus loved you so much that he pursued you on the cross. He saw where you would be. He saw where you're at. And he knows everything that you have ever done. He knows every sin, everything. And he saw where you would be, and he saw your lack of ability to save yourself. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay for that for you, that you may be able to come into a right relationship with the Father. Because before that, we were like enemies of God. We're like the Ninevites. But God has come and is pursuing you. And I would encourage you today to say, I hear what God's saying. I don't hear what Marcel is saying. Marcel's just up there blabbing. But I hear, God, what you're saying. My word, my encouragement to you would be, surrender to God's word to you this morning. We're going to pray. And if you have never surrendered, you've never said yes to God, maybe you've heard the word of God before and you've been kind of putting it off. But God this morning is coming to you, Shaney, coming to you again. I would say, respond to that. And I want to pray. And just in your own heart, pray that with me. And if you are someone who is a follower, maybe you're a servant of God, much like Jonah is a servant of God. and you've been running from God, I want to encourage you just to come back to Him. And I'm gonna pray that for you as well, that we would be able to surrender our will to His. And I know that, you know, as I'm preparing, I'm thinking, man, surrender my will to Him. Didn't I just preach that last week? Didn't I preach that the week before? Yeah, this is a theme that kind of runs through Jonah, if you haven't noticed. It's a theme of surrender. So we're going to pray. And if you would like to surrender your life to Christ today, to say yes to God, I invite you to pray with me on this. Lord, this morning I come to You. And I hear Your word calling me. And Lord, I want to respond to Your word. Not to Marcel's word, but to Your word. And God, I want to accept that salvation that You offer me. That I may no longer be an enemy of God, but that I may be called a friend of God. That I may become Your child. That I may enter into all that You have for me, that life that You created me for. So God, this morning, I accept Your sacrifice on my behalf. That You might take all my sin and throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. And I thank You that as I do this, Lord Jesus, You save me. And I am now a child of Yours. Lord Jesus, I just want to pray for our congregation here. I thank You for this congregation. I thank You for these people that You have brought together. And Lord Jesus, as we look at Jonah, we see how he kind of ran from You, but You didn't run from him. Matter of fact, You ran after him. And once he finally surrendered, You came again. You gave Your word to him again. You brought Your word. And when You did, God, You said to go now, to go quickly. Lord, I pray that if You're speaking to us, whatever it is, if it's to turn to You, to go to speak to somebody, to forgive someone, to ask for forgiveness, whatever it is, God, that we would respond to the word that You speak to us, and we would go quickly. That as You come to us again, You pursue us again, God, that we would respond to that. And if it's just turning to You right now, Lord, I pray, may we respond to that now in Jesus' name. And may we then begin to walk out as Jonah did, that life that You had called him to. And that life was at that moment to proclaim You, God, and what You wanted to do, to bring change to that place. And that was what You had designed them for and created them for. And You have created us not just for life, but life to the full. That we may accept that and live in that and walk in all that You have for us. So God, I give You this week. May You be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you. We have one more chapter next week and we'll be done. You can say adios to Jonah, but it's good to walk through God's word for us. So have a great week. You can join us for coffee out on the patio. If you'd like some prayer for anything at all, come. We'd love to pray for you. And don't forget to stick your cards, anything that you have in one of these boxes, whether it be a connection card, a prayer request, men's breakfast, whatever it is, a coffee thing. Stick it in there. It can be great. God bless you. Thank you.